This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. This Sunday, we reflect on the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Jesus Christ going up into heaven gives us joy. Ascension is a feast of joy, because from heaven, Christ now rules over everything. We too shall rise and be with him in heaven. Our lives here on earth are but temporary.
The Ascension of the Lord.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. The Word of the Lord.
God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since through the blood of Jesus we have confidence of entrance into the sanctuary, by the new and living way he opened for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a sincere heart and in absolute trust, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold unwaveringly to our confession that gives us hope, for he who made the promise is trustworthy. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage, and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
The ascension of Christ brings to mind the hope for which we are called to inherit as Christians. The hope that in God there shall be restoration of things, if only we trust in him. In Christ, God has glorified us by granting us an inheritance which becomes ours by virtue of our commitment to the things of God. Should there be any situation in our life that needs restoration, let us be assured of the Father's love. And so as we celebrate this solemnity, let us pray for the fruitfulness of our witnessing, which will culminate with our restoration and glorification. Our hope is built on the glory that Jesus promised us who love him and keep his commandments, and also teach others to do the same. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Hilary Munyaneza, Father Enobong Udaidyong, and Robin Peary contributed to the program. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in now for church news and later, the world around us, all about our environment.
Take and sanctify for your honor, Lord, and sanctify this gift. Take and sanctify this gift for your honor, Lord.
On Saturday, Pope Francis received in audience a delegation of Buddhists from Mongolia who were accompanied by the Apostolic Prefect of Ulaanbaatar, Bishop Giorgio Marengo. David Watkins has the details.
As the Holy See and Mongolia marked the 30th anniversary of formal diplomatic relations, a delegation of Buddhist leaders from the East Asian nation met with Pope Francis on Saturday. The Pope praised the delegation's desire to build a peaceful society through mutual understanding with the Catholic Church.
La pace è oggi l'ardente anelito dell'umanità.
Peace is the ardent yearning of humanity today, he said. So there is an urgent need through dialogue at all levels to promote a culture of peace and nonviolence. The Pope said interreligious dialogue must invite all people to reject violence in every form, including violence done to the environment. At the same time, he lamented that some people still seek to employ religion to justify violence and hatred. Pope Francis reflected on the teachings of Jesus and the Buddha, saying both men were peacemakers and promoters of nonviolence. Jesus, he said, taught his disciples to love their enemies and lived nonviolence to the point of death on the cross, whereby he became our peace and put an end to hostility. Gautama Buddha, a spiritual teacher of ancient India of the first millennium BC, founded his teaching on the core principle of nonviolence and peace. The Pope noted that the Buddha encouraged others to go beyond the categories of victory and defeat and to discard both in the desire for self-mastery instead of seeking to conquer others. In a world ravaged by conflicts and wars, said Pope Francis, we religious leaders have a duty to awaken in humanity the firm resolve to renounce violence and to build a culture of peace. The Pope admitted that few Catholics live in Mongolia, around 1,200 native Mongolian Catholics with 33 priests and 44 religious sisters, but he said they are fully committed to fostering a culture of encounter. Pope Francis thus called the Mongolian Buddhists and Catholics to strengthen their friendship for the benefit of everyone. He concluded by expressing his hope that Mongolia's long tradition of peaceful interreligious coexistence might lead to the effective implementation of religious freedom and the promotion of joint initiatives for the common good. I'm Devin Watkins.
The Holy See announces with sadness the death of Cardinal Angelo Sodano, who passed away on Friday evening at the age of 94. He had been hospitalized for some time in a clinic in Rome after contracting pneumonia and testing positive to COVID-19. An Italian national, the late Cardinal was a priest of the Diocese of Asti in northern Italy. He served into the Vatican diplomatic missions for many years before being named Secretary of State by St. Pope John Paul II. After the death of John Paul II in 2005, Pope Benedict XVI confirmed him as Secretary of State for 1 year and as Dean of the College of Cardinals. In a telegram sent to the Bishop of Asti on Saturday, Pope Francis described Cardinal Sodano as a man who lived his priesthood with generosity, first in the Diocese of Asti and then for the longest period of his service at the Holy See. In every duty, the Pope added, Cardinal Sodano was a well-disciplined man and a lovely shepherd, animated by the desire to spread the gospel everywhere. The Holy Father prayed to the Almighty to grant eternal peace to the deceased cardinal. The international community marked the World Hunger Day on Saturday, May 28th, with the theme Youth Ending Hunger. According to the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, there are about 820 million people around the world who do not have enough food to eat. The aim of the World Hunger Day is to raise awareness about hunger in the world and to call upon the international community to work together to end hunger. The Catholic Church's international charity Caritas Internationalis issued a statement on Saturday warning that food insecurity is being aggravated by climate change, the impact of COVID-19 and conflicts, especially now by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It called upon governments to implement sustainable recovery strategies that build on addressing the impacts of climate change and conflicts in order to enhance resilience of the food supply chains. Caritas Internationalis mentioned the Sahel region in Africa, Syria, and parts of Southeast Asia as areas that are currently seriously threatened by hunger. Reports from Uganda say hundreds of pilgrims have started arriving at the Catholic Uganda Martyrs Shrine in Namugongo after walking for many days. Thousands are still on the way and hope to arrive at Namugongo before next Friday, June 3rd, the Feast of the Uganda Martyrs. The youngest pilgrim on the journey is 7 years old, while the oldest is 100 years. Pilgrims from within Uganda are walking a distance between 200 to 500 kilometers, while pilgrims from neighboring countries are walking between 600 to 800 kilometers. According to the organizers, the dioceses have made arrangements with the Catholic parishes on the routes to provide space where the pilgrims can take a rest for some hours before they continue the walk to Namugongo. In those places, the pilgrims receive food, water, medical care, and shelter during the night for those who are very exhausted. Some dioceses have provided ambulances and health care workers to accompany the pilgrims in a case. The Uganda Catholic martyrs are 22 and were killed between 1885 and 1887 on the orders of a local king known as Mwanga for refusing to abandon the Catholic faith. They were beatified in 1920 and canonized in 1964. The Uganda Catholic Bishops' Conference chose the Diocese of Fort Portal to lead this year's celebrations. Last year, the pilgrimage was suspended due to COVID-19. Here are some of the voices of those who are still walking to Namugongo.
Started the journey 18th Wednesday of last week.
We are setting off from Kibuye. We have about 2,000 pilgrims who are walking. We are going to walk slowly, slowly. We are not going to rush. Slowly, slowly, and praying.
It has now started raining. You can see the crowds are forming. It rains on you. Sunshine sometimes is so scorching. Because you know where you're going. Because it's a sacrifice. Because of faith. And it's not just because you have seen people walk and you want to walk with them. Because it is something you believe in. Something you know is the right thing to do. You keep on going. And at the end of the day, we are sure that we shall reach our destination.
The journey was good, but I'm still paying. We don't have power to walk.
Voices of Ugandan pilgrims on the way to the Uganda Martyrs Shrine, Namugongo. The leadership of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, SECAM, has announced a partnership with the APO Group, a Pan-African Communications Consultancy Organization. The agreement for the partnership was signed on Tuesday in the Vatican. According to the agreement, the APO Group committed itself to transmit messages of the Pope and of the Holy See to the African faithful who were spread across the African continent and in the diaspora. The project will be carried out in collaboration with the Vatican Dicastery for Communications in Rome and the Pan-African Episcopal Committee for Social Communications. The president of SECAM, Cardinal Philippe Ouadraogo, who is also the Archbishop of Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso, and the president of the Pan-African Episcopal Committee for Social Communications, Bishop Emmanuel Badejo of Oyo in Nigeria, signed on behalf of SECAM, while Mr. Nicolas Pompigne Monard, the founder and chairman of APO Group, signed on behalf of APO. In his short address, Bishop Badejo stressed that the mission of SECAM is to ensure that Catholics from all over Africa feel connected to the Holy Father, the Universal Church, and the Vatican in their day-to-day faith experience. And through APO Group's training and communications expertise, the Catholic Bishops' Conferences on the African continent will be in a better position to deliver the message to the heart of Africa and to the world. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the World Around Us news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis, on the penultimate day of Laudato Si week on Saturday, invited the faithful to pray together for our religious communities. May they be prophetic servants in the care of our common home and for the least among us, the Pope tweeted. The annual Laudato Si week on the 7th anniversary of his encyclical on the care of creation will end on Sunday the 29th of May. In launching the week last Sunday at the Regina Celi, the Holy Father urged the faithful around the world to celebrate together the event. In a tweet after the Marian prayer, he said the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor can wait no longer. Let's take care of creation, a gift of our good Creator God. Let's celebrate Laudato Si week together, the Pope tweeted. Each day of the week features global, regional and local events tied to one of seven Laudato Si goals and the seven sectors of the Laudato Si action platform, all of which underpin the concept of integral ecology. Thomas Insua is the executive director of the Laudato Si movement. He told Didier O'Kain that over the last 7 years, the encyclical of Pope Francis has changed the conversation in the Catholic community.
In the 7 years, a lot has happened at the Laudato Si movement. We're truly delighted to see all the action emerging from this prophetic encyclical that Pope Francis gifted us. There are so many stories to be shared. I mean, for starters, I think it has just changed the conversation in the Catholic community, and way beyond the Catholic community, has reframed the conversation about the ecological crisis as a social crisis, as a moral crisis, as a spiritual crisis. So the first and most important impact, I'd say, is just reframing the conversation. An issue that care for a common home usually used to be disregarded as irrelevant for Christians, for many, including myself, I would say, till not that long ago, now has pretty definitively have been enshrined as a key Christian priority. As the Pope wrote in Laudato Si, care for creation is not an optional thing for Christians. It's an imperative. It's essential for a life of virtue. So that's the most significant one. Then in terms of other, let's say, tangible fruits of this encyclical, I would say the fact that we're having these two annual celebrations, Laudato Si Week in May and then the Season of Creation in September, in which the global church comes together to celebrate creation, the first one being a church-specific one, Laudato Si Week, and the Season of Creation being an ecumenical initiative in which different Christian churches come together to celebrate creation, is a major deal and a direct fruit, of course, of the encyclical. So that's another thing to be celebrated. Then, well, of course, speaking of LSM, as our name indicates, we're a direct fruit of Laudato Si. So, of course, I should mention the impact that the encyclical had in our personal lives and in our community lives. So many of us, thanks to the encyclical and through the movement, have found a way of living our vocation as caretakers of creation. And so thousands of us, like literally way over 10,000 people who did the Laudato Si Animators course, and it's a formation program to animate local communities and parishes to live Laudato Si, are a direct fruit of that. And last but not least, there's so much more I could say, but last but not least, of course, there's the Laudato Si Action Platform that the Dicastery for Integral Human Development convenes, and which we, of course, actively support together with many others, that is meant to help the church with very practical tools to create and implement their own Laudato Si plans. So anyways, that's a very quick glimpse, but there's so much more that could be said.
Do you think the Christian community are being seen as leaders with regard to the response to this climate emergency?
To be honest, I would say no. We Christians have been pretty late, and especially Catholics. We have to be very honest and say that we have been late to the game. 2015, of course, I mean, even the church, of course, we know that the church has been speaking about this for decades and decades. Other popes have also been teaching about this. Laudato Si was just a fantastic compilation of earlier church teachings. But one could argue that the intense and widespread action across the church, both the Catholic Church and other Christian churches, has been, let's say, extremely vital and noticeable in the last couple of years. We have to be very humble and acknowledge that decades and decades ago, others, especially non-Christians, just secular environmentalists, have been advocating, and actually Laudato Si celebrates those other, the larger environmental movement that has been championing this issue for decades. There are, of course, exceptions. The Orthodox Church is a very clear exception that, again, Laudato Si acknowledges. In the opening, starting in the 80s, the Orthodox Church has been extremely active. So, and there are, of course, other churches that, with different variations, have also been early champions. But the majority, I don't think we're quite there yet to be able to say that Christian churches are leaders. We are very, and especially in the last few years, very important actors in the global debate. And we're helping reframe the conversation, which I think is the most important contribution we have to make. But to be true leaders, there is much more action that we need to take within our walls. Very encouraging signs, again, the last couple of years have been impressive, but given the inertia and given the urgency, this is the thing, the urgency of the crisis is just becoming greater and greater. And we're still, our action is not matching the urgency of the crisis. So anything that doesn't match the urgency and the scale, I don't think could be considered proper leadership yet. But we'll get there, hopefully very soon, hopefully through initiatives like this one.
That was Thomas Nsua, Executive Director of the Laudato Si Movement, speaking there to Lydia O'Kane.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumosime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our report with the Pope on Sunday. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.